Here is a question worth sitting with. If someone offered you the top job at one of Africa's most prominent flag carriers, an airline flying the national colors, operating wide-body jets to three continents, running a network that connects dozens of cities across a continent of over 1 billion people, would you take it? And if you took it, how long would you stay? I'm Tower on ATIS, your aviation news from Radio Hangar. Today we are talking about Kenya Airways, a CEO departure that lasted less than 9 months, and what that kind of leadership instability actually signals at an airline of this size and significance. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Challenge coins built around the milestones and the discipline that define every stage of flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. George Kamal, who held the title of Acting Group Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer of Kenya Airways, has resigned. He was in the role for less than 9 months. The departure was reported by Aerotime. A formal confirmation has been issued by the airline. A detailed public explanation for the resignation has not followed. 9 months. Let's put that number in operational terms. In commercial aviation, airlines build their scheduling around International Air Transport Association, or IATA, season cycles. Summer and winter, each cycle with its own slot applications, staffing plans, and revenue expectations. 9 months does not complete two full IATA cycles. It does not generate a full year-over-year comparison on any route. You cannot meaningfully evaluate whether a new market is working, whether a capacity decision was sound, or whether a fleet deployment is returning the yield you projected inside of 9 months. The data is not there yet. The plan has not had time to run. And you absolutely cannot execute a strategic turnaround of a major national carrier in 9 months. When a CEO leaves that quickly, the organization does not just lose a leader, it loses the time it spent reorganizing around that leader. The priorities that shifted, the plans that were drafted and begun, the external relationships that were being built, all of that work pauses and the clock resets. That cycle of realignment is not cheap in financial terms, and it is not cheap in organizational terms either. There is a ceiling on how many times a company can absorb that kind of transition without the disruption becoming structural. Kenya Airways is East Africa's flag carrier. It operates out of Nairobi's Jomo Kenyatta International Airport, a facility that sits at an elevation of 5,327 feet above sea level. Density altitude at that field is a real operational consideration, particularly in the hot months. It is a modern airport, capable of handling the wide-body long-haul traffic a major international hub demands, and it serves as the primary gateway connecting East and Central Africa to the rest of the world. The airline itself traces its origins to 1977, and the founding story matters to understand the weight Kenya Airways carries. When it was established, it was stepping directly into the gap left by the collapse of East African Airways. East African Airways had been a joint operation across Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda. The theory behind it was sound. Three nations sharing the capital cost and infrastructure of a single international carrier, each benefiting from routes that no one of them could efficiently sustain alone. But running a commercial airline across three independent governments, each managing their own political economies and national priorities, proved unsustainable. The airline folded in 1977. Kenya moved quickly to build its own carrier. From that moment forward, Kenya Airways carried not just passengers, but a national identity. In the decades that followed, the airline built something real, an expanding African network routes into Europe. Codeshare partnerships. And then in the 1990s, a strategic move that shaped the carrier for a generation. Kenya Airways brought in KLM Royal Dutch Airlines as an equity partner. KLM took a stake. In return, Kenya Airways got access to things that most African carriers spend years trying to build on their own. Technical expertise and maintenance standards from one of Europe's most experienced carriers, codeshare arrangements that let Kenya Airways passengers connect into KLM's dense European network without friction. And through KLM's participation in SkyTeam, a global alliance connection that placed Kenya Airways in the same booking and loyalty ecosystem as Air France, Delta, and a collection of other major international carriers, that alliance membership gave the airline a reach and a visibility that its own network size alone could not have supported. The fleet reflected those ambitions for years. Kenya Airways flew the Boeing 767 on its long-haul routes, a twin-engine wide-body capable of transatlantic class range. Later, the airline transitioned toward the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, the modern wide-body twin that redefined fuel burn per seat mile when it entered service. The 787 changed the unit economics on longer routes in a meaningful way. Its efficiency makes thinner traffic flows viable that simply did not pencil out on older equipment. Moving toward that aircraft class was the kind of fleet investment a carrier makes when it intends to grow and intends to compete. That is, the carrier Kenya Airways was building toward in its stronger years. A hub at a major African gateway, modern widebody equipment, alliance connectivity, and genuine ambitions to become the dominant Pan-African carrier. Then multiple pressures converged. Fuel costs created margin compression, as they do for every carrier without robust hedging programs in place. Currency dynamics in East African markets added complexity. Revenue earned locally in Kenyan shillings does not always convert into the hard currency required for aircraft lease payments, fuel purchases at international prices, and supplier obligations denominated elsewhere. An airline can be flying full airplanes and still face structural financial pressure because of how that currency math works across the income statement. The Gulf carriers changed the competitive geometry. Emirates, Qatar Airways, and Etihad built their model around something that geography provided. Their hubs in Dubai, Doha, and Abu Dhabi sit in almost exactly the optimal position for connecting traffic between Europe, Asia, and Africa. A passenger routing between Nairobi and London through one of those hubs gets a one-stop itinerary through a modern, well-resourced connecting facility, often at a price point that is difficult to beat. Kenya Airways' direct Nairobi to London service is a strong product. Nonstop has real value. But it is competing against that structural advantage, and structural advantages do not negotiate away. Regional tourism demand fluctuated in ways that created additional revenue pressure. East Africa draws significant leisure traffic, primarily wildlife tourism and safari travelers from Europe and North America. That traffic is sensitive to travel advisories, security perceptions, and the broader public narrative about stability in a region. When it softened, Kenya Airways felt it in its load factors on routes that depended on it. The cumulative result was a carrier moving from profitable to deeply loss-making. The Kenyan government, a significant shareholder, has had to provide financial support multiple times to keep the airline viable. Nationalization has been discussed at intervals. Debt restructuring has become a recurring management challenge rather than an exceptional one. Through all of it, Kenya Airways has kept flying, kept its crews employed, kept its hub operational. Into that situation walk George Kamal, with the word acting attached to his title from the start. That distinction is worth examining carefully. Boards give acting designations for different reasons. Sometimes it is a straightforward interim appointment while a permanent search runs in parallel, and the acting leader is fully expected to be a serious candidate for the permanent role. Sometimes it reflects board-level disagreement about strategic direction, which makes it genuinely difficult to hire a permanent executive, because no one can tell that candidate with clarity what they will be asked to execute. And sometimes the candidate pool for the permanent role has reviewed the situation thoroughly and concluded that the risk-reward calculation, given the constraints the carrier is operating under, is not favorable enough to accept. Leading from an acting position is a harder assignment than leading from a permanent one. A portion of organizational attention is always engaged with the question of what comes next, rather than with executing the current plan. Partners and suppliers factor the uncertainty into their own planning horizons. People inside the organization with options elsewhere consider those options more actively, and the people who chose to stay because they believed in the plan have to factor in whether the next leader will validate or redirect that plan before it has had a chance to show results. Less than 9 months in, George Kamal has resigned. Kenya Airways has not announced a successor. The airline enters another interim period of undetermined length. From a safety culture perspective, this kind of leadership instability at a major carrier deserves a measured mention and a measured response. The connection between executive leadership and cockpit safety culture is not always direct or immediate. Kenya Airways flight crews and technical operations teams work under professional standards, oversight from the Kenya Civil Aviation Authority, and whatever international audit requirements come through their alliance relationships. Those frameworks provide real structural insulation, but over time, instability at the executive level does affect the conditions that safety culture depends on. Training investment decisions get deferred or redirected when financial pressure and leadership uncertainty align. Operational management turnover sometimes follows executive turnover as people recalibrate their own career calculations. Maintenance and standards decisions involve trade-offs, and those trade-offs look different depending on the financial runway the organization believes it has. None of this is automatic or immediate, but it is worth tracking. For contrast, Ethiopian Airlines has become arguably the strongest carrier operating in Africa today. Ethiopian operates out of Addis Ababa, and over the past decade, it has expanded its network aggressively across the continent, built a maintenance hub capable of servicing other African carriers, launched an aviation academy producing qualified crew across multiple license categories, and taken equity stakes in regional carriers to extend its reach. Throughout that growth, Ethiopian has maintained the leadership consistency and strategic coherence that Kenya Airways has struggled to replicate. The gap between the two carriers over that period has widened meaningfully. That comparison is not comfortable for Kenya Airways, but it is instructive. The conditions for building a genuinely strong African carrier exist. They have been demonstrated. For those of you flying internationally or operating commercially with connections through East Africa, Jomo Kenyatta remains a significant hub. Kenya Airways is the dominant carrier in that system. When the dominant carrier is cycling through leadership and managing financial stress, it is reasonable to monitor schedule stability and the reliability of connections that depend on its operations. This is not a reason to avoid the airport or the region. It is a reason to pay attention. African aviation as a whole is carrying significant growth potential. IATA's long-range demand projections consistently put Africa among the highest growth air travel markets over the next 2 to 3 decades. Population growth, economic development, and urbanization create a demand trajectory that the data supports regardless of near-term disruptions. The carriers and the infrastructure that are positioned correctly when that demand fully materializes will occupy an enviable competitive position. Kenya Airways, with its hub at one of Africa's major international gateways, its institutional history on the continent, its African route network, and its alliance connections, has the foundation to participate in that growth story. But participating in it requires executing consistently against a direction over a sustained period. That requires leadership continuity. It requires a board and a shareholder group aligned around a clear strategic mandate. And it requires whoever fills that CEO seat next to have more than 9 months of runway. Aerotime had the report on Kamal's departure. More aviation context at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower.